You're listening to Room 208 Podcast, June 10th, 2005. This week we have student news, This Week in History, research, Word of the Week, and my favorite, sports.
First up, student news.
Student news!
Colors Day is a really special day to our school. It represents teamwork, cooperation, participation, and fun. Every year on Colors Day, we play Bucket Brigade, Tug of Colors, Relay Races, and the Classroom Challenge. On Colors Day, we will wear orange because that is our team color. This week, we started Spirit Week. Spirit Week is when we wear the colors of the Colors Day teams. On Thursday, we wore red. On Friday, we wore orange. Monday, we will wear blue. On Tuesday, green. On Wednesday, we will wear purple. On the last day of Spirit Week, we will wear yellow. That is what Spirit Week and Colors Day is all about.
Pretty soon on Colors Day, the Joshua Stevens Award will be given out to 7 people. The Joshua Stevens Award is an award that is given to 7 of the most reliable, responsible, respectful, kind, cooperative leaders and constantly doing good deeds, teachers, administrators, and faculties of Wells Elementary School vote for the nominees. All of this dates back to 1997 when Joshua Stevens died of a brain tumor. They started the award the next school year after he died. They started the award because Colors Day was his favorite day and he was so dedicated to school. He still went when he was sick. There is a huge ceremony on Colors Day when the awards are presented. And that is why the Joshua Stevens Award is so important to our school.
Another awesome thing we did this week is that we got to see an owl presentation in our classroom. There was a woman named Courtney from Chewonky that came to teach us about owls. Chewonky Foundation is a place for animals that have been hurt or lost. It is also a school, but it's not like ours, for people to learn about animals. Courtney brought 3 owls. One was a solid owl that only weighed 2 ounces. The second one was a barred owl, and the third one was a great horned owl. Courtney had to put a mat down so the owls wouldn't go to the bathroom or spit up a pellet on the rug. A pellet is the fur and bones of the animals that it ate the night before. The little solid owl spit up a pellet. Courtney accidentally caught it and she regretted to catch it. The second and first owl went to the bathroom, but luckily they landed on the mat. Go to our blog to hear the whole presentation as a podcast bonus show.
The fourth thing we did this week is that some of the students started froggy research. The frog research is about the point of view of a frog and the life cycle of a frog. After we are finished with the frog research part, we write a script about the point of view from the frog during the life cycle stages. So far we have started the script and just need to finish the ending. We are having a lot of fun with this unit so far, and we are looking forward to putting the play on the podcast.
Also, this week we had a fire drill. We have fire drills all the time. Do you know what they are for? What they are for? Practice and safety. The main reason is that we have to be able to get out of the building safely when there is a fire. When there is a fire drill, the fire alarms go off and we get into a straight and silent line. After we get into a line, we get out of the building quickly. It is very important that we stay quiet because the teachers need to be able to hear the walkie-talkies when we are outside. Mr. S calls the roll. If there is somebody missing, Mr. S holds up a red card, and it is reported. If everybody is here, he holds up a green card. Fire drills are to make sure every child is safe in the school.
I'm Carrie.
And I'm Emily.
And we're going to read you a thank you letter because some people came to our class.
Dear Mr. Bennett, Portland Press, and York Co-Star, we are writing this letter to thank you for putting us in the newspaper. We really like the articles.
More people have been coming to our website. It's great.
We also want to thank you for coming into our class and interviewing us.
Thank you for coming up with the name Podkids.
Keep listening to our podcast when you get the chance.
Sincerely,
Emily J.
and Carrie.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Dylan.
And this is an addition to our sports piece.
This week we will be talking about the 2004 World Series champs, the Boston Red Sox.
Johnny Damon needs to score two more runs to get 1,000 for his career.
Wow. But it might take him a while. Did you know Manny hasn't hit a homer in his last 55 at-bats?
Yeah. He has only hit one homer in his last 19 games. The Red Sox have to step it up if they want a place in the playoffs.
You could say that again.
The Red Sox have to step it up if they want a place in the playoffs.
I didn't mean really say it again.
That's all the time we have for sports. See you next week.
Now you'll be hearing some of our really awesome Native American research reports. We're going to try and get as many as we can in the remaining shows. They all have different topics. Some of their topics are food, fishing, and shelter recreation. I hope you enjoy them because we worked really hard to make them perfect. Well, here they are.
Hi, I'm Emily F., and I'm going to tell you all about Northeastern Native American Shelter. Have you ever wondered how big Native American Shelter was, or how they prepared and built their shelter? I'm going to tell you all about those three things. Everyone knows that the way to start shelter is to prepare for shelter. So I'm going to start this research by telling you how Northeastern Native Americans prepared their shelter. Before making a longhouse, men and boys must first clear the land of trees and bushes. It was much easier when there were young trees because men and boys could cut those down easily. Bark was then peeled from the big trees in large sheets of slabs up to 8 feet long. After the sheets were peeled from the trees, men wet the slabs to keep them from cracking. The slabs were then placed on top of one another. After the sheets were peeled from the trees, men wet these sheets to keep them from cracking. The slabs were then placed on top of one another. The men placed large rocks on top of each stack to keep the sheets from blowing away. After they did that, the men and boys were ready to begin building the shelter. To begin building the houses, the Native Americans must first use elm tree trunks and slablings to build the frames of their houses. Then they covered the frames with tree bark. Next, they placed vertical poles in the holes they had dug along the outline. Boys would then climb to the top of the vertical poles to tie up more poles. Then the boys tied horizontal poles around the frames using bark tree strips. When they were done building the longhouse, they would insert two doorways at each end. Most longhouses were very big. Longhouses were sometimes 200 feet long, and some longhouses were longer than a football field. Longhouses were 30 to 200 feet long and 15 to 25 feet high. A lot of longhouses could hold up to 100 people at a time. That was a lot of information about preparing and how big longhouse was. But it was fun and I enjoyed it a lot. I hope you did too.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth and this is my Native American report on food. Imagine your mom coming to the table and opening a pot full of beaver or muskrat. You sure would be surprised, but the Abenaki wouldn't be. The Abenaki had to hunt and fish to survive. Some things they hunted were seal and other mammals. Some of these mammals, other than beaver and muskrat, were moose, bear, and deer. Hunting was not a sport like it is today. The Abenaki only took as much as they needed. In the winter, they ice fished, but they could not fish in the spring. While some fish, others gathered shellfish. Did you ever wonder what happened to the meat after it was caught? Well, sometimes after the Abenaki he caught it, they would eat some of it, and the rest they would smoke. Smoked is drying it out to be able to save it without it rotting. And then they would use it later in the year, or when the hunting was poor. And the woman used a bit of the meat and made cloth from the animal hides. Abenaki ate nuts and berries. They stored their nuts and dried their berries. Here are the nuts and berries they ate. Acorns, beech nuts, walnuts, butternuts, cranberries, and blueberries. I hope you learned something about the Abenaki's food because I worked really hard on this report.
My name's Zoe, and I did a report on Native American shelter. Have you ever had one of those moments where you are wondering how in the world Native Americans made their shelter and used it? Well, here I am to tell you about a tribe called the Iroquois and to answer some of your questions on their housing. The Iroquois were the people of the longhouse. The longhouse is a huge wooden frame covered in birch bark. To make it was a hard task. First, the men and the boys would make the clearing. Next, they put vertical poles in for the walls. Then the boys climbed up and t- tied bent poles together for the roof. Finally, they covered the frame with birch bark. Now let's take a look inside. There are platforms running along each wall, used for working, sitting, sleeping, and storage. Each family had their own section along the wall. They also had their own storage. The hooks along the wall held hanging possessions. In the middle, there was a fireplace. For heat inside the shelters, the Native American tribesmen would make a fire outside and put rocks on it. When the rocks got hot, they would take them off the fire carefully and put them inside the shelter. You wouldn't want to touch one of those. Another way for insulation is to cover the walls with animal hide and share a fire in the middle of the longhouse. A wigwam was another kind of shelter. There are many different sizes and shapes of them. The most common one was called the conceal. The conceal had an A shape and was covered in birch bark. Another kind was the cone wigwam. The cone wigwam had a cone shape and was covered in birch bark. Most of the time, cone wigwams were used for steam baths. The steam bath didn't have a fireplace in the center, but every other kind of wigwam did. Most Native American shelters were decorated with pictures of birds, animals, and people. These paintings were done on the outside of walls of the shelter in black, red, and white. Over the door of a new longhouse, they would hang a family totem. That meant good luck. Isn't it amazing how Native Americans made their shelter back then? I hope I answered your questions.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Elizabeth.
And you're listening to Week in History.
The very first drive-in movie theater opened for the first time in Camden, New Jersey on June 6, 1933.
Negro League baseball legend Satchel Paige died in 1983, June 8th.
Louis XIV was crowned to become King of France on June 7th, 1654.
Captain James Cook discovered the Great Barrier Reef off Australia in 1770, June 11th.
Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassin, James Earl Ray, was arrested on June 8th, 1968.
On June 10, 1935, Alcoholics Anonymous was founded by Bill W.
Donald Duck made his first screen appearance in the movie The Wise Little Hen on June 9, 1934. King Henry VIII married his very first wife named Catherine of Oregon on June 11, 1509.
And that was Week in History by Mark and Elizabeth.
Wow, that was a great show. I can't wait till next week's show. Stay tuned for our podcast at www.bobsbranco.com. Listen to our bone show sightseeing tour with owls. You can send us email at podcast@bobsbranco.com. Bye.